Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. We have an exciting guest today on our podcast, and we are going to talk about strategies to recession-proof your business. In everything that's going on in the world today, we really need to talk about this. And, you know, we're going to talk about it as two friends, as friends that we all are, listening audience. And before we dive in, let me introduce you to my guest. Cheryl Lynch is currently a business advisor for Cultivate Advisors, and she partners with business owners to help them achieve their growth goals and defined success. Cheryl is a certified global business professional with an active CAM license, real estate license, and she also holds a degree in finance, and she's also certified as a QuickBooks Pro advisor. Cheryl has advised and consulted with businesses for well over 25 years and has held positions in various industries in the capacity of CFO and COO. That's impressive. She has also been in charge of mergers and acquisitions for deals valued at over $100 million. She has performed operational turnarounds for major development projects, dealing with international players and locations. And guys, in addition, she is a serial entrepreneur and current business owner of, get this, three businesses. And she's had six others over the past 25 years, spanning the real estate development industry, the service industry, both B&B and B2C, and the entertainment industry. And that's just to name a few. Cheryl also provides feasibility studies for lending institutions under the USDA guidelines. So you want to know what Cheryl does in her spare time, aside from when she's not helping entrepreneurs avoid pitfalls in growing their business? She enjoys traveling the world with her other half. She enjoys cooking, exploring new cuisines, and cheering for the Dallas Cowboys. How awesome is that? Cheryl, welcome to the Virtual Ingenuity Podcast.
Thank you, Claudine. That was a mouthful.
That was awesome. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
I'm happy to be here. I always like to have good friendly chats, right?
Yes, among girlfriends, of course, too.
Absolutely.
That makes it even more special. So today is a really important topic because, you know, since 2020, we've been going through this COVID pandemic, and business owners are nervous. And, you know, we're going through now what's called a recession. Many of us, it's a first time for a major recession. So, you know, we want to talk about what a recession is. And I believe that a recession is just a decrease in economic activity over a sustained period of time. Usually a recession is characterized by the rising unemployment and decreased spending and economic output. So, but I want to hear in your words, what truly is a recession?
Well, like you said, the textbook, right? It's a temporary, right? It's not long term, but it's a temporary economic decline where trade and industrial activity slow down. And we usually identify that with the fall in the GDP for two consecutive quarters, right? There's a bunch of other factors. So some are saying, yeah, it's a recession, but not a real recession because the job market is still strong. There's still activity going on, but textbook wise, we are technically in a recession. So
you're absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a time where companies may make fewer sales and the country overall's economic output declines, just like you said. Right.
Exactly.
And you are absolutely right. It does depend on a variety of factors. You know, this COVID-19 recession has been, of course, the most recent recession beginning in February of 2020, I think. Right. And it's lasted, you know, only a few months, but it's so far the shortest recession in history. So, but you're right. Usually a recession is usually defined by the GDP as two consecutive quarters of negative
Right.
economic growth. And so what does a recession look like in reality? I mean, it could look like job losses, could be a manufacturing slowdown, it could be a decline in consumer spending, a decline in really just real income. So let's talk a little bit about that and how it can really just impact a business. And let's back up a little bit and talk about really what are the characteristics of a recession.
Yeah, so usually borrowing becomes harder, right? So where the Fed's supposed to talk today, I don't know if he has or not. I've been so entrenched, I haven't watched the news as of yet, but interest rates go up, so borrowing becomes more expensive, a little harder. The discretionary spending tightens up, right? So if we're like, oh, what's going on? We won't spend as quickly as we have. Stock market usually goes down, and I don't even know if we can even consider that a factor anymore, just because it's almost like consistent day trading.
Right.
And employers let go of employees, but because there's such a shortage, and almost every client I have is hiring, that's not truly right. That's why we're like technically GDP negative, yes, but
Right.
job market's still hot, things are still rolling. So it's kind of a hybrid. And I think once we come out of this, we'll have a new definition, right? So everything's always tweaked as we learn. Typically, recessions can last, a medium is about 15 months, right? So a little over a year they usually last. But if you look at the other side of it, the economic booms and expansions usually last an average about 93 months,
Right.
right? So it's almost a little bit like self-correction. And my two cents in the bucket, I'm not an economist. I only play one on a podcast. But I think the recession that we're in is due to the fact that we have supply chain issues,
Right.
right? And prices were escalating, supply and demand. So the Fed came in to raise the interest rates to slow the spending down. So it's almost like the Fed and raising interest rates slows the economy down, which then technically would put it into a recession. So it was
Right.
kind of not a natural occurrence, in my opinion. I look at it from, the common sense perspective, and it's like, well, they're raising rates to slow spending down because we've got supply chain issues and we need to catch up, and we don't want inflation to keep going higher and higher and higher. So it's a little bit of a self-correction to kind of help even things out.
Right.
So.
You know, and like you said, the interest may, there's so many different factors, and this could really be a long topic of conversation.
It could.
But you know, one thing that comes out of a recession could be also, I want to talk about a decline in product quality as well. So companies right now are looking for ways to cut costs and of course improve their bottom line, right? So, in the meantime, this could really lead to a temporary reduction in service or product quality because we can't afford, small businesses just can't afford to adhere to their usual standards. So, that's something that as consumers, we need to really be aware of. And I want to talk about specifically the impact of a recession on businesses, whether it's a large business or a small business. And I want to compare the two. Because recessions do not affect every business in the same way.
True.
And while they can have, you know, an effect on different companies, some of the hardships are really predictable based on the type and size of the business, I feel. So, whereas a small business may experience cash flow issues because clients may delay payment of invoices, right? But then, when you look at those bigger Fortune 500 companies, they may be able to save money by cutting jobs or extracting better terms from their suppliers. So it may not affect a larger company as it does a smaller business.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about the recession impact on small businesses. I think it affects them more because small businesses have less of a financial cushion.
True.
They don't have stock, they don't have bonds, they don't have secondary offerings, such, you know, those things that a larger business may have.
Mm-hmm.
So
one thing they do have, though, is the ability to pivot quicker.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Big business, there's too much red tape and it has to go up the chain versus in a smaller business. You can pivot quicker.
That's right.
Think outside the box, you know, and this is where a recession could potentially be a good thing for a business, right? It can clean out the market. So it can get rid of some competitors, potentially. Usually in a recession, the talent pool, people get laid off. So the ability to find better, more improved talent could exist. Not sure if it would exist this way, but we'll keep an eye on what's happening because there are some bigger companies that are laying folks off.
Right.
The potential to negotiate better rates, right? The big businesses right. do it. Smaller businesses can too. It's about communication, right? If you
Absolutely.
Clearly communicate, keep in touch with your clients, keep in touch with your vendors, and all work together as a team, we can all ride it out together.
And that's so true.
Bigger business, it's yes. our way or no way, right? Small business, 9 times out of 10, you're working with a lot of other small businesses too.
And the great thing too, and one of the recommendations that I would recommend for smaller businesses is keep track of your finances. Have a financial advisor, not just in times when things are rough, but all throughout your business, you know, even when things are great, because you want to have that cash reserve there. So take a regular stock of your finances on an ongoing basis, leaves you with a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
Know what your cash flow forecast is, because that can really help a business owner to predict future financing as well.
Absolutely.
And then another thing, Cheryl, I think is important for smaller businesses is for business owners to take stock of their client, of their talent.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how you're best utilizing your existing client rather than going out and hiring new talent. Identify what the employees that you already have, those that are working for you. Identify your potential leaders. Encourage them in team building activities. And then, of course, track your KPI. That's so important. Track
mm-hmm.
your performance.
Absolutely.
So I think those are some of the ways that, you know, small business owners can come out strong or not suffer as much.
True. And I would say educate yourself on learning what happened in prior recessions, right? Because we can always learn from history so that we don't repeat it.
Yes.
So actually take the key components from the previous recessions, the why, the how, the pivotability, who was successful. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, I'm all about R&D, rob and deliver, right?
Yes. I love that.
But also putting like a tactical playbook together with multiple scenarios that are calendarized, right? So you're setting timelines to say, okay, if this happens in this time frame, you can have an offensive to fight it off or a defensive tactic to prepare and defend against it. So having a playbook, you become a coach, right? Become a stronger leader too. Keep the lines of communication open with your employees. See how they're feeling, see the temperature, because you're gonna lead by example. You can be a wartime leader or a peacetime leader, mm-hmm. right? So what's the scenario? What's the situation? What's the playbook? And keeping your staff updated at least on a weekly basis, at least on a weekly basis. Keep that communication open. It'll get everybody on the same page And it's having a barrier. If all the business and people in the business are all on the same page, it's kind of like a team that can play offense and defense together and get to the end goal.
Right.
And get through the struggles.
And then that's great that you talked about pivoting too, because pivoting doesn't mean that you have to change and start over, right? It could really mean just finding the right balance between old and new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean permanently adopting a new business model.
Right.
It just means that, you know, the right approach could be staying the course, reverting to your old ways of working, or it could be really a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
Another important thing I want to bring up is building customer relationships. Yeah, that is so important. Finding out what your customers' needs are and not just fulfilling those needs temporarily, but expanding on your services to your customers or your clients.
Yes. Listening to them, but not trying to be everything, right? Yes. There has to be a filter in place because a lot of customers, especially in retail, because people are usually very vocal. They show up, they go in, oh, you should do this and you should do that and you should do this. Okay, evaluate it. Take each suggestion and evaluate it. Does it make sense? Does it fit within the business culture, the business model? Can it enhance something? Or is it going to cause confusion with branding, things of that nature? So you should always take a step back, take it from the outside looking in, and see how it affects every aspect within the business before you actually decide to pivot something or implement something. Sometimes it is creating something new out of the ordinary, depending upon what you're doing. You know, the restaurants that pivoted during COVID. I know I had a couple of clients and the phone call was, oh my God, what are we going to do? They're shutting everything down. I said, start posting on social media that people can come pick up or you'll deliver. Do not shut down.
That's right.
And they were like, really? We can do that? I said, why not? Why not? You know, it's you and your husband. You're going to be the ones in the restaurant cooking everything, dealing with everything, because employees don't want to come in or whatever. You'll make it work. And they survived through it. They actually survived through it. And the community rallied around them, supported, made sure, you know, they kept their business. They're one of their favorite restaurants in business, right? So definitely clear communication and communicating with the clients as well.
Yes. Two things I want to comment on. You know, it's so important to go back and when you pivot and people give you information, what you should do, always go back to your values. Always go back to your mission and your values. It's not a cookie cutter plan. Not every advice that people give you is great advice for your business. So look at what the values are of your business and then see if that advice is going to really work for you. The second thing that brought up was, you know, the example, which was another example I was going to bring up as well, is that, you know, you have a restaurant. A lot of these restaurants now, since the recession, we're calling it a recession, but, you know, they're not having as many customers in-house anymore at the restaurant. So a lot of these restaurants are now doing delivery services. I mean, look at Target. Mm-hmm. Target, for example, I don't even go into the store anymore, which is great because it helps me to save money because, you know, I don't have to pass by the $3 and the $5 counter anymore, right?
Right.
So you order online and you pick up.
I just did that this morning. That's so funny.
I love Target. That is.
I just popped the trunk. Yes, here's my code. Yeah. Thank you.
That's right.
Save money. Yeah. Not save good for Target. That way. For us.
You know, it's great. Yeah, it's great for us. But it's working. It is working for them because more people are using that. So it may indeed be really, you know, working really well for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then maybe some people don't want to deal with, oh, I have to go in the store to return the item if it doesn't fit, or, if something's wrong with it, maybe some folks are just keeping it and saying, hey, I just can't be bothered. You know, they may give it to somebody and
recycle.
Then just recycle. Yeah. And just order more. So let's talk about ways to protect your business from recession. More specifically, there's so many other ways. We talked about cash reserves. Another way is to pay off debt. I know that, you know, it may be challenging, but there are ways that you can just go ahead and pay off debt before it builds up. Control your growth. Look at your costs now more than ever. It's important to do that. You want to keep your business afloat. So don't spend every dollar that comes in. You know, you want to just look at your investments, look at what's coming in, and maybe just save it for a really big purchase later on. And then also diversify. So we talked a little bit about that. Maybe it was a restaurant where people were coming in. Well, now, hey, people aren't coming in anymore. Let's deliver. Let's go to them.
You can also do a SWOT analysis, right?
That's identify right. The strengths, so important.
The weaknesses. That's all. That's internal, right? The strengths and weaknesses are internal. Your
that's
opportunities
right.
and your threats are your external. And just doing an evaluation and see what's out there to give us the current economic information that's going on, so we know how to pivot, adjust if need be able to analyze the good versus the bad, the talent versus the not talent. Does it fit within the mission and value? Does it not? You know, checking all those boxes.
Right. And then you also may want to just expand your geographical location. You know, maybe you want to go virtual. Maybe you want to focus on that more.
Yes.
And offer your services globally or just a larger area.
If you have a good relationship with your lender, set up a line of credit.
Yep.
As just in case. You may not need, if you don't need it, that's the best time to do it.
Right.
Because the approval process will be a lot easier and it'll go through. So it's with watching the cash, set up that line of credit as the just in case, that security blanket. And in case there is opportunity where you identify something that you can capitalize on, you have potential cash that you can utilize to help make that happen.
Right. And you know, another thing is outsource your business. So look at your workforce, and instead of hiring another employee, you may not be able to afford doing that. Look at outsourcing. You know, with Virtual Ingenuity, what we do is we help you to streamline your processes. So we're in essence, it's like a fractional executive that we are here. So outsource, it's a lot cheaper. It cuts your cost down by 60%, right?
That's,
you don't have to pay
that's an impact. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huge
Everything
impact.
Doesn't have to be in-house. And sometimes it's beneficial to have those outside eyes looking in.
That's right.
To give the fresh perspective, additional ideas. And to poke holes, right? And question what it is that you're doing. Because sometimes we can get so involved and so entrenched as entrepreneurs and business owners that we can't see the forest through the trees.
Right.
So having that advisor helps.
Yes. Yes, it really does. You know, and build up the skills of your employees that you already have instead of looking to, you know, hire new people or like you said, get guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Keep track of that.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Cheryl. I was going to say
we got all these ideas. We're just ready to throw them out.
I was just going to reiterate again: keep track of your KPI. Monitor that. Look at the competition as well. Beat the competition, right? Mm-hmm. So, just gain an understanding of your products, your strengths, and weaknesses. Compare to your competitors.
Absolutely.
And just stay ahead of that. And then one really most important thing is just be patient.
Yes. Be patient with yourself, mostly.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But you can also analyze your customers
and
do a deep dive and see who of your customers are recession proof. because there are businesses and industries out there, depending upon the type of recession that's in existence, are recession proof.
Yes.
So you can really focus your energy, and can you create products or services for those customers, right? That's where the new could potentially come into play. The value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
What's the value proposition of your product?
Right.
Do you have to adapt it? Just a little bit, the tweak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding, have your clients' needs changed?
And then establish those flexible client agreements. Make sure that your agreements are flexible, right? Not everything is set in stone all the time. So just make sure that you have that flexibility to change those agreements that you have with your clients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Messaging is important too.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
When it comes to messaging, you know, using certain keywords will get you better traction than the others. So recession, right? Recession proof your business.
Yes.
Protect. You're not trying to promote gain and sale in that regard. You're thinking more of a protective stance, right? So take a look at what your messaging is.
I agree. And then create multiple revenue streams as well. You know, mm-hmm. we talked a little bit about that too. So just capture new money without making a major investment. There are just ways to do that. And so again, that goes with analysis, analyzing what your values, missions, KPI reports, look at that. And there are ways to do that. And then you can invest in partnerships too, right? With
yes.
other businesses.
Strategic partnerships are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
I know I had a client that had asked me, it's like, well, we're coming to a recession. Should I offer discounts? You know, and my first response is like, well, is there an F in the word discount?
Uh-huh.
And if you say it really fast, no yeah. F in discounts.
Yeah.
But sometimes if you've got good clients, good customers, you can take into consideration, how much do they buy? How fast can they pay you? Mm-hmm. How long can they commit? And how quickly can they sign on to the new terms that you've mm-hmm. agreed to come with? So if you are going to offer a discount, you really need to take into consideration how much they buy, how fast can they pay, and how long they'll commit to buying from you.
Right.
It's crucial.
Very key points. And then you may also want to invest in adaptable technology that just really makes it easy to run your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the right technology can really help your business running smoothly and effectively and save money.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe how many clients I have, Cheryl, that come to me that have all of these platforms and they're not even using half of them, and they're wasting, you know, so much money with these platforms when they could just consolidate or use other techniques. So, you know, and I know here at Virtual Ingenuity, that's one of the things that we do as well, is just guide you in that process of how to do that and provide
that's,
you
that's
with options.
Critical. That's mm-hmm. crucial. I said to clients, I'm like, well, I've got a toilet you can flush your money down instead.
Right.
Because that's what you're doing. And it's the business owner that's overwhelmed, that doesn't take the time to step back and look at the KPIs, look at the cash flow, monitor the spending that's going on. It's really critical. It I don't know about you, Flooding, but it makes me cringe. But it's like, oh, my bookkeeper takes care of it. Oh, my accountant takes care of it. I hate accounting. Bookkeeping gives me heart palpitations. I understand, though. Nobody, you know, some people, somebody starts talking accounting, it's like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah.
Right. Right?
It's just very, very difficult. But you should know enough to know the questions that you need to ask to get the information you need to make those educated decisions versus the guttural instinctive decisions.
That is so true. And you've worked with the, you know, Fortune 500 companies, you've worked with millions of dollars here, right? So you know the importance of that.
It's crucial.
It's what you do on a daily basis.
Yes, fighting with my clients, kicking and screaming to get them.
And that's why they love you, because in the end, they see how much they've saved because of you.
Yeah. And I try to explain that it's, yes, I'm financially adept. I was balancing checkbooks at 11. Numbers is my gig. I geek out on it. I get it. Accounting, it's so boring. It stinks. It's not fun. It's the intricacies of what gets posted where, who does, why, right? But when you have those finished reports and you're looking at them, you should know what your revenue means. You should know what your cost of goods means. You should know what your overhead expenses means. You should know what your net income or loss, hopefully it's an income, means, so that you are aware. I always say it's like that, the file cabinet in your brain. This is information that sits in the top drawer of the file cabinet that stays top of mind, that you're always thinking about. I had a client yesterday. We were going over some stuff and I was like, all right, let's get into it. And before she realized it, she's like, you've got me doing the stuff that I don't want to do. And I just said, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And as we're going through it and I was explaining things in layman's term, not the wah, wah, wah.
Right.
I was like, she's like, oh my God, that makes perfect sense. I wish somebody would have told me this 5 years ago. I'd be so much further ahead. Right. So don't be afraid to ask the questions.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to ask, what does it mean? Why? There's no judgment, especially if you're dealing with me or Claudine. There's no judgment. We're there to make you better, make you stronger, give you the tools to succeed. So there's no judgment on our part. I tell my clients, if I have to explain it to you 100 different ways until you receive it in the way that you need to, I am there. I will do it. Over and over. Don't yes me to death, because it doesn't help you.
Yeah. And you are so patient, Cheryl, and you do a phenomenal job of explaining it to your clients. You really do. You have a gift of doing that. So that is amazing.
Well, thank you. I only walk on water when it rains, just like everybody else.
Well, you do truly have a gift. So where can my listening audience find you?
I'm not a big social media person and people can't understand why, but I just don't have time and I'm not a stalker. I can't do it,
but you know,
I am on LinkedIn.
I was going to say, you know, what's so wonderful about that though, is you don't necessarily have to be on social media to be successful, and you are extremely successful, and word of mouth speaks for itself with you, Cheryl.
Yes, it does. Well, my consulting business, I only accept clients from referrals. So I have no website. I have no social media. If you've got my phone number, you got it from somebody who's worked for me and you really need the help.
Yeah. Tell us.
So, yeah. So no, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can shoot me an email, Cheryl@Cultivate Advisors. I truly enjoy working with Cultivate Advisors. I'm going into a gear shift, looking to sell the businesses, move out of the country, but still want to help business owners succeed. So I teamed up with Cultivate Advisors so I can do so. Great organization, cultivateadvisors.com. We've got lots of no cost tools and tutorials on the website. I'm so happy they did that. They opened that up beginning of Q3. They said, we're going to open up a lot of our tools and stuff because we believe small businesses are the backbone of our economy. And we want to, our mission is, a world made better by entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
Right. So going to that vision. So LinkedIn, Charlotte Cultivate Advisors, email. You'll be able to find me, link up with me. If you have a business question, shoot it to me. Be happy to help.
Awesome. Cheryl, it's been wonderful having you on the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast today. It's always great to talk with you. You know, we can talk for hours.
Thanks, Claudine. We can. Two girlfriends talking business.
That's right. So guys, be sure to follow Virtual Ingenuity LLC on Facebook and Instagram. And until next time, guys, let's impact together.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great day.